So let me co-chair for this session, the chair of the review team, Alejandro Pesanti. So if you could, please.
Thank you very much, Heather. Thanks, members of the GAC, for receiving us, for opening your doors to us. They're also present in the room are a large fraction of the review team. Many of them are sitting there on the end, and a few are in other places. For the sake of time, I will spare the reading of a roll call. If I can have the next slide, please, if there's... Thank you. I will briefly describe to you the status of the review team's work at this point. As you know, the team for reviewing the ICANN's compliance with its functions of preserving and enhancing the stability, security, and resilience of the DNS was mandated by the affirmation of commitments. It's in this way substituting for the oversight function that was previously exerted under the MOUs and similar consensual instruments with the United States government. And also, this means that the team was formed following a very specific recipe and rules so that different fractions of the ICANN community provided members, and the GAC provides leadership through Heather Dryden, through her designee Alice Muñoz, and through the participation as a member of Anders Rafting of Sweden. We were chartered in the middle of last year. The team composition was announced around September. We first came together in December 2010. Previous to the meeting here in Singapore, we met in December 2010 in Cartagena and in March 2011 in San Francisco. We have suffered some attrition. Some of the members of the group of the who were originally appointed to the review team have not been able to continue to work with the team. Other members have not been able to continue in leadership positions that we had internally, but continue to serve with the team. And we're looking in some specific cases where there were designations to have them replaced. The team decided to work on this review, doing basically two things. One of them is looking, analyzing, screening, and evaluating what is stated in a documentary basis, which starts from the bylaws and goes through important places like contracts, which have significance for their security, stability, or resilience, or all three of them. And will be conducting much more intensive program of interviews with different parties, both individual and corporate, which also have a bearing or an opinion on these issues. We have grouped the issues that we're analyzing, and therefore the documents and these different people and instances, in three issues, sets of issues. One set of issues is governance, which means basically what are the rules, policies, etc., under which have a bearing, define the scope, define the action, and may define also the risk management rules in general for ICANN in terms of stability, security, and resilience of the DNS. Second one, which looks at the implementation of these rules, how these things are actually being carried out, how they are working in reality. And the third, focus on contingency, which means mostly looking at how new threats are recognized, how sensitive the systems in place are to actually discovering these new threats and creating reactions to them, and to things like business continuity and, in general, the contingency aspect of risk management. These document bases I've mentioned, classified by these three criteria, has been subjected to some preliminary analysis. Preliminary means not in-depth analysis for each document, since it's a very huge basis. It's probably more than 100 documents that have this type of relevance. So the first thing has been to triage among this set to decide which are the documents that we really need to analyze and not waste time in documents which have a trivial significance. On the other hand, documents may be relatively of small bearing, of little bearing on the security, stability, or resilience of the DNS in themselves, but they form part of a system in which they may become significant. We will be during the boreal summer, now from now to October, we are planning to intensify this work. Tomorrow we'll have a first drafting session in which we'll begin to establish what are the null hypotheses for statements about each of these documents and to further test them and explore them, and finalize a set of interview questions that we have to standardize according to different methodological views of how security audits are conducted, without going too much into the technical detail that may be irrelevant for the large-scale picture that the ICANN community needs. Defining the scope of the review is a constant iterative exercise, and as mentioned, the methods are basically methods of inquiry, document analysis, some of the collective decision-making methods, and the interviews. The next one, very briefly, I will just show you the next three slides. First, the one that's upcoming, with only trying to show you the headers of these three slides, which are the three sections in which we believe this final report will take shape. One of them is the scope of ICANN's security, stability, and resilience responsibility, consistent with the limited technical responsibility of ICANN, and divided in three spheres, which is what ICANN actually controls, what ICANN only influences, and a very broad set of operations and actions going on in the DNS that are outside ICANN's control, very marginally in ICANN's influence, and therefore can mostly invite a contingency type of reaction. Second of this set, we are looking at the effectiveness and implementation of the stability, security, and resilience plan. And in the next one, we are looking at the risk landscape and contingency planning. How, as I mentioned, how the risk landscape is established, identified, and so forth, and how planning goes for it, and how, when there have been chances to test this contingency plan, how they do come out. The kind of questions we're looking at in the next slide, we are providing you this not necessarily for study. We don't intend for you to study these questions right now. I'll tell you what I think will be most productive. But the kind of questions we will be asking is for each party whether they believe that ICANN has a clear remit and scope for the security, stability, and resilience of the DNS, what's your understanding of it, whether you believe this remit is correct, whether this remit is appropriate, or whether it should be reduced, or if it's too broad in your opinion, or on the contrary, if it's not covering enough, let's say, risks for people, how it should be enhanced. Next one. We'll be asking each of these parties that we interview whether they think that ICANN clearly state its goals in security, stability, and resilience, whether they track its performance against those goals, whether this is reflected in the budget, and so on. You have several more slides, which I won't show right now. The presentation is available for you. These are example questions. They are not definitive in any way for two reasons. First, because they are still under discussion. For three reasons. One is they're under discussion. Second, they only cover one of the three aspects. These are more the governance-related ones. They're not the implementation or the contingency ones in particular. And the third reason that they're not definitive is the most important one, and the reason to be here, which is we need to interact with you in the coming weeks with the GAC in order to know what a specific kind of formulation of interview questions could elicit a response that's the most open and thorough from governmental parties. If we go and ask a head of state whether they believe that ICANN's budget has been properly marked and followed, we may be asking the wrong question to the wrong person, and we'll get no answer, no promise for a reply, and so forth. So we want to work with you in a way that really leads for this to be most productive. And therefore, we will also look the other most important outcome for us from this meeting and the coming weeks of interaction is to make sure that the SSRRT, the Stability, Security, and Resiliency Review Team, is focusing on the right priorities, whether from the GAC's point of view, in particular, the most hot button kinds of issues are still within what we're scoping, whether the scope has shifted. We are reminded, and bring this to the table, that the initial terms of reference for the review were established around a year ago. A lot of things have happened since then. There may be new risks. There may be things that you may think that have lost priority against others which have gained so. And those are our main concerns for this meeting. I'll stop there and open it either for whatever the chair decides to lead us.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Are there any questions or comments coming from GAC members to the review team? Italy, please.
Okay. Thank you, Alejandro, for this description of the work of the group and of the review team. Let me say that looking at the public policy aspects, no doubt that the question of security, stability is a very important one, very central, I would say. It is looking at the questions that you pose, I could say that we obviously at least I am speaking for Italy, in favor of a limited role of ICANN that is confined to the security of DNS. But this is, in any case, large enough, because on one side there is a promotion of DNSSEC, then there is the idea of setting up this DNS certs, and the activity of DNS, no doubt, is central also in the analysis of the certs, because in the end the registries are a part that is very important in any kind of tracking of what's happened. And also ICANN has a special aspect that at least there is one organization that centrally organizes the question concerning the security and stability aspects of DNS. While the security is a very huge, very large spectrum of different organizations, and there are not efficient or centralized coordinations. So I think that ICANN could be seen as a good example of something that actually actually functions. And so I can imagine that there could be a temptation to invite ICANN to enlarge its aspects on security. Okay, these are considerations just to encourage this very, very important work that the review team is conducting. Thank you.
Thank you, Italy. Jeff.
Thank you. I was just going to elaborate on one point that Alejandro made that I think may be of particular interest to the...
Introduce yourself.
Oh, sorry. Jeff Brueggemann with AT&T, a member of the review team. I think we have heard a recurring theme as we have talked to the community about recognizing ICANN's limited role. At the same time, as Alejandro described, there is an element of ICANN being part of a much larger group of organizations and entities that can help secure the DNS. And I think that includes cooperating with governments and law enforcement as a key component of that. So, again, that's an area where striking the right balance between not extending ICANN's role but recognizing that there are things that they can do to be viewed as a credible partner with government on security is a something that would probably, I think, be of value to the review team to get your insights and thoughts on. Thank you.
Thank you. Sweden.
Thank you very much, Heather, and thank you very much also for this presentation. And I absolutely agree with my colleague from Italy that this is a very, very important area. Could you please back to the previous slide, because I have actually, well, two questions, because the first, this is a three, question three and four. I would like to see the questions one and two, please. Somebody could jump back. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask a little bit about security and stability. I understand that this is focused on the technical aspects, on the security and stability of the DNS system. But I wonder whether you are actually also looking upon the security and stability for the organization. And you, Jeff, from AT&T, you a little bit touched upon it, because security and stability is a little bit wider. It has to do with cooperation with other stakeholders, and it could have to do also with the security and stability for the organization itself. Of course, that is going to be a very large scope for the review team, of course. But in some way or the other, these kind of things hangs together in a way. So I just wanted to know whether these aspects are going to be in the review. Thank you.
Thank you for this. This is one of the very important questions which define the scope of the work of this review team. There's absolutely yes. The answer is yes. We intend to look at the most significant factors that affect the systemic stability of the organization. We do not have the constitution, the forces, or the budget to go into the, let's say, a detailed analysis of the activity logs of the routers of every registry. That activity is mostly performed by consultants, which are hired by the companies anyway. We have to look more at whether the, say, ICANN in a much larger way has the processes to make sure that the companies are operating in secure conditions and that the risks of all layers are being managed. And as you mentioned, there's always a concern for the stability of the organization, its components, its ability to perform its roles in general, and in particular what we are charged with is to review its ability to perform its role with respect to these stability functions. And again, we are not equipped, nor budgeted, nor have the time. I mean, we could extend this forever, but we don't intend to extend this forever, to do a detailed political analysis of those factors, but they will certainly be there. When you look at these questions, and I would like to focus your attention again on what these questions mean at this moment, these are the questions that we would be asking for people we interview. We have the picture that we will be interviewing something between 20 and 50 entities. Some of them will be CCTLDs, some of them will be GTLD registries, some of them will be government representatives or the GAC as a body. Some of them will be people who are knowledgeable with the system, who have built it over the many years. And we will be asking them these questions in order to identify the strengths and weaknesses of the risk management process. I have to remind that risk management, better than security, means identifying the risks, preparing a reaction to them, transferring the risk, for example, by insurance or by spreading it amongst several parties, identifying when something's actually happening, detecting, mitigating, creating business continuity and so forth. So what we have to look at, I mean, what these questions are meant to do is not asking them to you right now, but give you a taste of the interview we would be conducting with, for example, in your case, with a representative of your government or with a representative of the root server who operates in Sweden, to ask them whether they believe these things are well-defined. And there will be many more operational-like questions. And there will be, of course, questions that will explore things like you've mentioned. What do you see as the main threats within your scope? So for some of the operators, the threats that we're asking about are, you know, very much IT technical kind of threats, denial of service attacks. And for other parties, this will be, you know, the stability of ICANN as an organization, as you mentioned.
Thank you. I have Malte next.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, and that was very, very informative and, you know, reassuring, you know, presentation. And actually, my question really follows on Maria and relates to this really first really question. I think that you've answered it to a certain extent, but I wonder whether what was posed there was a rhetorical question. I realize that the security is a very, very broad really aspect in this, but is there a question about a really lack of clarity in terms of ICANN's, you know, responsibility as far as security and stability? I think if you could elaborate on that. Thank you.
Very gladly, sir. In fact, this is, you know, when I mentioned in an earlier slide that defining the scope of the review is an iterative process, it goes, it starts because defining the scope of ICANN's work in stability and security is an ongoing work all the time. Let me put this in the way of an example that will probably be clear. The DNS, the domain name system, is a very large, widespread system. It's distributed globally. There are hundreds of thousands of domain name resolvers, of name resolvers in every organization. One could ask for, you know, if you really wanted to know everything that can affect domain name systems, security, stability, and ability to rebound from damage, which is more the resiliency side, you would have to ask whether these 250,000 or million or whatever the number is of domain name servers, you can't even know actually how many there are, how they are managed, whether they have good software, whether the software is patched, and so forth. So we know that's outside, that's beyond the scope. That's to tell you, we know what's beyond the scope. The L server that's run by ICANN is within the scope. The 13 root servers seem to be within the scope. Registrar contracts seem to be within the scope. The contracts that ICANN has with companies for escrow of registry and registrar data are clearly within the scope. How much do we have to look at the way individual CCTLD managers manage their domain name resolution or the domain name registration and changes? That is on the border of what would be or not within scope theoretically, and it will also be defined in practice by trying to get a review that looks at the 20% most significant information that allows for us, for the community, to make 80% of its decisions, and a very, very pragmatic approach. I don't know if this leads to a reply to your question, sir.
Thank you. Jeff, did you want to comment? And then Kenya.
I just had an additional comment in response to Maria's question, and I think that we also were driven by the fact that the accountability and transparency review team, to some extent, was looking at some of the organizational stability in that institutional confidence sense. So when we looked at our mandate under our review team, we felt that it was more focused on security issues. But that said, we are looking at ICANN's direct operations in that area, including, you know, budget and staff and all of those direct functions. So I think we are somewhat looking at it, but not taking on too broad of a issue here. And I also think we feel like our job is not to do a security audit of ICANN, but really to look at the process and the structures that they have in place and say, are these the type of things that are addressing the problems? And if we see something that raises a concern, it's likely to be a process question for us.
Kenya, please.
Thank you, Heather. To follow up on what Jeff is saying here and Alejandro, I think the issue of the scope of ICANN's limited technical mission has actually been an issue that has been brought up by other stakeholder groups, and I think it's one issue that our team is going to be analyzing rigorously to ensure that we come up with either recommendations or as to how ICANN deals with it, because you can't escape the fact that, you know, yes, ICANN's mission is very limited technically, but it impacts on quite a number of other areas, and so we need to the review team is going to be looking at that issue as an area that's a challenge as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Kenya. We are close to the end of our time, so unless there are points that people particularly want to make, a quick one, Italy? Short one? Okay, please.
If ICANN dedicates enough money to the theme of security, this is a very important one. But ICANN is a company that provides services, and the provision of services is the base for funding. So the real thing that has to be convincing towards the users of the services that the security is maybe 10 or 12% of the cost they pay for the addresses, numeric or alphanumeric. So this is a cultural issue, to try to make the users to evaluate which is the right percentage, and then push ICANN to do this.
Thank you, Stefano. The thing we are meaning to obtain from this session is exactly that kind of point of view. And what we will need to also find out is whether these are individual country representatives' views, or they are more broadly shared. I guess we will work with the GAC representatives in our team and with the GAC leadership to refine this aspect. But certainly, you know, I have no bias about that issue that you mentioned. What we need to know is that the question is important to you. And I'm sorry, not playing psychoanalyst, asking you why you think that point of analysis is important. We really believe that we need to know from you the ways you will need for us to throw light on the issues.
Thank you. Kenya?
Just to reemphasize Alejandro's point in terms of how important it is to get a response from GAC members regarding some of the gaps and how we move forward, and especially ensuring that this review takes into consideration government input so that ICANN's security stability activities are taken seriously, is very important, and perhaps we can discuss that further within the GAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenya. I think that's a good proposal. It's often the case that there isn't clarity for governments about precisely what ICANN's role is and should be related to security, stability, and resiliency. So that's an important aspect for us to clarify and to do our utmost to be clear on. So, okay. Let me then draw this session to a close and let us agree that we will do what we can to provide inputs and feedback to the review team. As you know, Alice Kenya is our GAC representative on that review team, so she can certainly assist with that, I think. So thank you very much, Alejandro, and to all the members of the review team here for your work, and we look forward to working with you as your work develops.
Thank you on behalf of all the team members.
Thank you. So for the GAC, if you could just stay seated, I just want to have a quick discussion with you about the communique, and then we can take a break, and then we can come back and actually determine how we're going to proceed to work on our communique.
Thank you.
Okay, so I understand that a first draft was circulated to the GAC list.
To topic leaders and the vice chairs, sorry.
Oh, okay, it hasn't been circulated to the GAC list. A first draft went to the topic leaders and to the vice chairs at the end of day yesterday. I don't know whether you've had a chance to look at that version. And I understand that a further updated version is now available, taking into account that we've had meetings following yesterday. So we can either take some time now where those that have lead or particular interest in certain topics actually look at the text and work with the Secretariat, not in this format, but as groups or some such thing, or we could take an alternative approach. So, or we can, of course, go with the version that we have prepared by the Secretariat, projected, and go through our usual process to finalize that text. But I'm looking for guidance. If it's not available, we can take a break and we can, you know, sort that out. Yeah? Okay. I'm not really seeing thoughts. Okay. All right. So let's have the coffee break, but the break is with the aim of working out how to deal with the communique, and so I'll be looking for comments on that. Could the Secretariat circulate the latest version to the list? Okay. No.
Sorry. Excuse me. What we've got is a version, and I'd say it's, for me it's still very much virgin territory, of where we got to at the end of the last session. Obviously, I haven't been able to incorporate anything from this session yet. I've had a bit of feedback already on what I circulated to the team leaders last night. Thank you very much for that. And that's what it will be. So it's been a little bit of sort of fiddling with, but basically right open for you to deal with, minus this session.
Okay, so the Secretariat will circulate that to the list now. Let's have a look and determine what's the best approach for finalizing the text today, if we can. Okay, so let's have a break and try to reconvene in 30 minutes, but if we need longer to sort ourselves out, that's fine. UK, please.
Could we also have hard copies? I mean, I like paper. I know I shouldn't say this in this environment, but
yes,
we've got a text.
Yes, when we reach that point of finalizing the text, then we should have hard copies of that, certainly, yes. European Commission.
Yes, thank you, and thank you, Jeremy, for taking that initiative. Following the discussions we had on GTLDs yesterday and earlier in the week, some of us had already been working on a first draft for the GTLD bit, actually. So I wonder, looking at my colleagues, I wonder whether we might ask you to put that in that part, actually. I haven't had a chance to read through yours yet, actually, but I think because we're maybe a bit more advanced in terms of building consensus on that one, if we could substitute the text we were working on, actually, for that chunk before you circulate it to the rest of the GAC and print the copies, it'd probably save a bit of time. Thank you.
Yes, that can be done. Okay. Kenya.
Yeah, not about the communique, but following our meeting with ALAC, there was a suggestion about regarding the possibility of having a joint statement, and I was wondering whether that could also be circulated. I've already passed it on to the Secretariat. It's just a page, and I think the idea is to just have consensus whether we need to have that joint statement at the public forum tomorrow or we don't. So if that's okay, Heather.
Let's have hard copies of that as well circulated so that when we reconvene, we decide how to address that. Okay. All right. So the Secretariat will circulate the latest version using text on GTLDs that has been prepared by a number of you in the GAC. Okay. All right, so 30 minutes, we'll try to reconvene. Okay, thank you.